Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program. Right now on Sunday night, it's a pleasure to welcome into the studio once again Luke Geary from Salvos Legal. Hi, Luke.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Now, Luke, you're going to help us pick up some of the threads that we touched on in our previous hour. That is the way in which lots of people are saying voluntary associations are being killed by law. You've got to get qualifications to even sort of say hello to a child in Sunday school these days. Well, you tell us, necessary or over the top?
Unfortunately, I come from a lawyer's point of view, so I'll say necessary, John. It's a set of rules in a good society can go a long way, I think, and in issues where you do have organisations which are trusted by the community, by the authoritarian figures, by the vulnerable. We have a need to make sure that those people who carry out the functions on behalf of those organisations are able to carry those functions out ethically, morally, capably, and in a way that will no doubt serve the greater good. And if we don't undertake certain rigorous checks and keep account of all these sorts of things, well, we run a real risk of harm happening to those who are most vulnerable.
And in some ways, too, it's a question of, I guess, not so much legal philosophy, but the attitude of mind you bring to it. That is, one can see organisations who would use a set of regulations restrictively, that is, just say no, and always say no, nobody ever got sacked for saying no, is the cliche, or others who would use that same set of regulations and say, this is a way in which we can encourage the right sort of people to be part of our operation.
Indeed, and enhance the effectiveness of it.
Yes, yes. So a lot of it does come down to the mind of the person who is actually charged with dealing with that onerous burden.
Indeed.
Okay, now you've got one or two things you wanted to chat about with regard to this, the way regulations and things
are. Yeah, look, I guess, John, look, thinking about the issue of the rule of law in society is on a day-to-day function, you know, what's good about rules and what's bad about them. I guess being a lawyer, I have a fairly biased view that rules obviously keep me employed, but also rules, I think, go a long way to keeping things in order. Just take, for instance, a few things which are fairly heavily regulated in society. They're regulated for the protection of those who are in need. And I just think about some of the civil things, some of the things in our day-to-day lives, such as areas of consumer credit, insurance, home building, for example, an area of my former practice. Each of these three areas are very heavily regulated, and they're regulated because if they're not, people are going to get taken advantage of. For instance, I used to act as a solicitor for one of my main clients was the Office of Fair Trading in New South Wales, and my job, as pleasant as it was to take down the bad builders and developers in New South Wales. And I remember acting in a number of cases for builders who had gotten their licenses to do home building, that is, places where people lay their head at night and have their children protected under shelter. These builders had gotten their licenses by simply purchasing them under a Granville TAFE scam, that is, not conducting any necessary examinations and obtaining the right qualifications, but really going about it the wrong way. And they were out there practicing building blocks of units and selling them for a fortune. Home building is one of the most heavily regulated areas for the reason that it is one of the most important things in a person's life. And we're fortunate that we have such rigorous rules and such important safeguards, I think, to protect those people. Another area, as I mentioned, consumer credit. You know, we take for granted sometimes the availability of funds, but if in the wrong hands, we end up, like we spoke, I think, on the last occasion, with predators. That is, those in the financial sector who are acting as predators against the most vulnerable people who have only the week-to-week income to care for them. And, you know, without
the payday loan sharks.
Yeah, and without a proper form of regulation, those people would be eaten up in a second with hundreds and hundreds of percentage interest rates, penalties, and you know, a never-ending pit of debt. Now, we're in a state of flux at the moment because there are amendments.
Yes, because this is one of the areas that you said we need regulation, but the question is, what sort of regulation? Because if it's too restrictive, it actually do more damage than good.
Yeah, and look, it's a very complex debate, and it's one that's presently continuing. Unfortunately, I'm having a bit of an involvement in that, and part of it is about coming up with the right set of rules that can protect the most. So another example, for instance, where rules are really important, because without them, you're going to have those who have power and authority and the bargaining position, that is, those who have money, being able to dictate the terms to those who are in need. And obviously, they're the people who the rule of law needs to protect. And the way to do that is through rules, through contract, through laws and regulations.
Are we becoming, and this is part of the discussion we had in our first hour, too contractually driven as a society? That is, we often make jokes, don't we, about America as being a litigious society. And that's usually used in a pejorative sense. That is, litigious is not good. That we should sort things out more on a mutual basis. You're suggesting, look, it's just not that simple in an increasingly complex world.
Well, you're right, John. It's not that simple in a complex world, but we have seen some swings back away from the fears that we have of America and these massive court payouts as a result of people's rights being infringed. But in Australia, we've had a big shock to the system. In 2001, we had the collapse of massive insurance companies, HOH and FAI. Subsequent to that, a very detailed, comprehensive investigation had to take place into the law of negligence. That is, those laws that we talk about where someone hurts themselves in a public place, for instance, which clearly skyrockets the insurance premiums that charities and other community-based services have to fund in order to carry out their activities.
Public liability insurance.
Precisely. And we've seen a big shift away from those heavy regulated aspects of our lives to a law which is much harsher on people who want to make claims. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I guess, is a matter for much finer and more significant public debate than I can offer. But it is a little bit of a swing and roundabout in that sense.
Yes, and you're seeing governments in some states now saying, oh, look, we've been too generous with workers' comp. We've got to tighten up on the provisions over workers' comp.
Yeah, I guess the question
again, swings
is
and
there's a massive bill there and someone has to pay it. We're amidst some very heavily debated amendments to the workers' compensation laws in New South Wales, which have the ability to really revolutionise, to some extent, a worker's rights whilst at work and on the way to work. A very complex debate for a lot of different interests to take part in. One thing, I guess, from my point of view that I think is really important when considering rules and the importance of them, we have to think about those people who rules are put in place for to protect the rest of us. That is, people, for instance, who have served a term of prison and they may be coming into a period of transition. Those people are bound by a certain set of rules by the parole authority. Those people who don't have committed offence so significant or who've been given a second chance by the courts end up on good behaviour bonds or suspended sentences. Those sorts of rules, John, I think are very important to facilitate the curbing of one's behaviour to protect the rest of society. They're sort of Damocles over their head, so to speak, so that the person not only has the encouragement and the motivation to correct their behaviours wherever that's possible, but also the protection for the community in the event that they fail to do that.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you get run against always a question of, well, one man's meat's another man's poison, to use the old cliche. That is, take, for instance, laws on firearms. Some people would say, if you're well disposed to the Shooters Party or other positions, no, this is an absolute right. You know, they sort of almost transmute a version of the American sort of constitution over here and say the right to bear arms absolutely, you know, free, should be unhindered. Others say, no, one of the defining characteristics of a civilised society is the extent to which people feel free not to have to worry about arms in society. That is, freedom from fear of violence or potential violence. And these are trade-offs almost in every arena. You mentioned the housing laws before. It's a trade-off between the builders and the customers. It's a trade-off at almost every level. This must become a lawyer's picnic.
A feast. indeed. But if you work for my firm, you don't have that financial incentive.
Is this the sort of stuff that people come to you over, though? Like the results of these sorts of, the fallout from this sort of stuff?
Yeah, of course. Rules and regulations affect people in every type of capacity. I just think very recently I had an elderly lady who came to me being sued by a former friend who had sought to take advantage of her under an arrangement where she held herself out as a real estate agent. And that lady had sued this elderly lady and sued her for recovery of a commission for an attempt at selling this elderly lady's house. And this elderly lady came to me sort of dumbfounded by, firstly, the fact that the friend had sued her, but also by how on earth she had accrued such a debt and what was she going to do. Now, fortunately for this lady, who, as one might expect, very vulnerable lady with no other friends or other family, the law is there to protect her because that so-called friend didn't hold a real estate agent's license. And the law says if you don't hold a license, you can't recover a fee. So in every type of capacity, rules are there to protect people. And sometimes they become, I think in the last session this evening, John, some of your speakers were talking about them being too cumbersome to allow churches or other not-for-profit agencies to do the business that they need to do. There's talk about the difficulty in taking up the role of a treasurer, for instance. Yes, it is burdensome, but there are significant benefits to having rules in that those who need them are protected by them.
I guess it gets down to the extent to which, keeping on this point for the moment, you're putting such a crushing burden on a voluntary association that they can no longer effectively function as a voluntary association. Mm. Because it's not just the rules, it's the consequences of having to apply the rules that involve costs, that involve all sorts of things. That are we in danger in any areas of basically crushing those voluntary associations and the things that, and the counterpoint that we actually risk forcing those associations to become professionalised?
I guess to an extent it's a trade-off. If you think about the sorts of things that not-for-profit organisations do, they work with children, they work with the elderly, they work with people who are unable to look after themselves. And like I think I opened with, if we don't have manners to protect those persons from the wrong people purporting to come in and be a good Samaritan, but in fact with the wrong motivations or the wrong abilities, things can go very wrong for an organisation very quickly. All it takes is for one child to be harmed or one elderly person to be abused or for one individual in need to be hurt, and that organisation's entire reputation, perhaps built over hundreds of years, would be immediately damaged, and the fallout from that could be catastrophic for so many other people who otherwise would have come to it in need. And it is to an extent a trade-off in the burden of paperwork or administration, but also the benefit of having those safeguards in place. And to an extent, an organisation of a voluntary capacity doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't act in a professional way.
You're somebody who's been actively involved in voluntary associations. You're somebody who's probably seen the way in which the law begins to need to be taken notice of. What do you say to those voluntary associations, though, whose natural tendency is going to be able to say, look, there's a law involved here, we've just got to say no? You know, the tendency becomes to actually basically shut the door or at least make it difficult for the operations to happen because of that need to be
risk averse. Yeah. Look, and I can entirely sympathise with that, John. I think organisations must protect themselves from risk. And as a lawyer, depending who my client is, often I'm going after someone. But I think there are so many lawyers and other financial and other advisors out there who are willing on occasion to act in a pro bono capacity for a community or other organisation which is not for profit, which has the right social or other ethical goals, and we're happy to assist those organisations to get their paperwork in order, to get their systems in order, to be able to facilitate without the restriction and burden of what we might see as the less exciting tasks. So rather than simply closing the doors, I'd reach out to the professional community who might be the mums and dads of the kids that go to the school or the church or wherever it might be, who just happen to be lawyers or bankers or accountants or whatever it might be.
Yes, so that as our as the demands on organisations are increasing, so the skills of the general population to meet those demands is increasing.
Yeah, and just because an organisation has volunteers, a volunteer doesn't need to be someone that, and not to discount this as a contribution, doesn't need to be someone who simply hands out soup or paints a door or something like that. A volunteer can come in any manner of capacities. It can be someone who is highly skilled, but doesn't often get given the task that their skills are worthy of. So voluntary work need not be constrained to the day-to-day tasks that an organisation might otherwise think. I think if they're going to do things right, they need to really start thinking outside the box and looking at the resources out there.
Luke Geary, it's been fascinating to have you with us as ever in on Sunday night. If an organisation wants to get started up and they look at this stuff that they have to jump through, what do you advise them to do? Can they contact somebody like Salvos Legal? I mean, do you provide services, or is it an area of service provision that you can look at to say, look, we can provide advice to charitable organisations, to voluntary associations, to others? It's little clubs and societies want to get set up in the local community.
Yeah, well, I guess there's a number of collections of organisations that are able to assist in this regard. There's industry associations and professional bodies, but also there's firms like mine. Salvos Legal is a firm which seeks to charge money to those organisations where there are capacities to pay in sorts of things like setting up a company or an associated incorporation. Incorporated association, but where that's not possible, we can either see if we can assist, or we certainly will know someone who can. There's a very large body of advisors out there, John, who are more than willing to assist.
If you need advice, look for it. Luke Geary, it's great to have you along with us. Thanks so much for joining us this Sunday night, shedding a little light on a difficult area for many voluntary associations in our community. This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.